For the last half hour, we're going to be talking about Juneteenth with Dr. Bobby Green from the Doniana County NAACP. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, and it is a pleasure to be here as usual. I'm
so
excited.
Juneteenth right, yeah. is a special time, and we have a lot of activities taking place here in Las Cruces. I'm going to take a minute right now just to kind of go through everything. Starting today, there is, when we get done, there will be an event at the Corbett Center, third room. It's Roots, Recipes, and Remembrance Soul Food Demonstration and Lunch. And then this evening at the Rio Grande Theater will be Billy Towns headlining that event. That's music, is that right?
Billy Towns is an exceptional musician.
I was going to say, I'm not as up to on this as I should be. On Thursday, 7 o'clock, the Rio Grande Theater will be Colin McAllister's Latin Jazz Project. On Friday, we'll be at the Black Programs Office at the Corbin Center, third floor at NMSU, will be Black Business Highlight. At noon, will be a Lunch and Learn Power of the Black Dollar at Zuhl Library. 1 p.m., Little Toad Creek, Desiree Price. 3 p.m., Little Toad Creek, will be Robert Onjinkan. Am I pronouncing that right?
Close enough.
Quartet. I apologize, Robert, if I got that wrong. 5 p.m. will be pre-screened from Pioneer Park to the Rio Grande Theater, ending with a concert on the steps of the Rio Grande. 7 p.m. at the Rio Grande Theater, doors open at 6:30, will be the Color Quorum.
Color Quorum.
At 8 p.m., a Little Toad will have an After Hours with jazz jam with Lush Life. Oh, Lush Life Quintet. That's Mark mm-hmm. Mathias's band. And then Saturday will be the big Juneteenth celebration at Brannigan Cultural Center, Buffalo Soldier presentation and concert featuring the Mark Fowler Group. At 2 p.m., Brannigan Library will have a Black Artist Expo. At 6 p.m., Las Cruces Convention Center, Juneteenth 2026 Freedom Banquet, and that's what we're going to be talking more about with Dr. Green. At 8:30 at the Rio Grande Theater, doors open at 8, will be Artha Metters. And then at Sunday, 2 p.m., Rio Grande Theater, doors open at noon, the David Rodriguez Havana Quintet. And 7 p.m. at Young Park, Make Music Day with food trucks, Tia Fuller. And let's see, the invocation by Dr. Joseph Dunn. I think that's everything.
There's one other thing.
Okay.
There's a gospel explosion on Friday evening at 7 p.m.
So there are lots
There's
of activities
lots of,
and events taking
oh, yes.
place.
It's a beautiful thing.
So can we just talk a little bit about Juneteenth? Just
yes.
before we get
the
into
history.
All the local
yes.
stuff. And I heard a pretty good discussion on TV last weekend about, you know, some people still think this is a Texas thing. Some people think this is just a Black thing. And it is, as the one of the commentators put it, it is the first time in our nation's history when everybody has truly been free. I mean, we
yes.
all celebrate July 4th. As the day of our freedom, but it wasn't the day of everybody's freedom.
It was not. And I made a statement when I received a proclamation from the Doniana County Board of Commissioners. And I made a statement that back when that the U.S. Constitution was developed and the preamble, We the People, which is the theme this year, our theme,
right.
We the People. And in 1873, when it was signed, we the people did not include like 2/3 of the population.
Right.
It did not include Black people, didn't include people of color, and it didn't include women.
Mm-hmm. So I was okay, but the rest of you guys.
Well, you know, hey, that's the reality
that
of it.
That was the reality.
So it did leave out a whole
yes.
quath of people.
Of course.
And now, you know, of course, we've made significant progress. Say slavery is no longer a thing. And, you know, we have the freedoms that were promised in that Constitution. However, Dr. King said it was a promissory note
yes.
that has not yet been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I would venture to say that it still has not been fulfilled. We're getting there. And Juneteenth is about victory, I think.
Yes.
The oppressed suddenly had freedom.
Yes.
You know? And so that's reason to celebrate. But, it took 2.5 years for them to, for anyone to tell them.
Right. Yes. That's the amazing part of the story.
That's very sad.
Is that it took that long. It
took that long. And they didn't have social media. They didn't have the internet. It wasn't even legal for them to read anyway. Yes. And so they took advantage of the situation and continued to oppress.
And exploit,
exactly. And it's, you know, that's hard to think about what type of group of people would do that.
Who would do that? Other human beings.
Yeah. Yes. Knowing.
Knowing.
It wasn't legal anymore. So it's, you know, that's, well, and of course, a lot.
You know, that led to the Jim Crow era. People in dominant positions don't give up power without a fight.
That's what Dr. King said. The oppressed will never give up their control unless we fight for it.
That's right.
Yes. And it's true. It's still true.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've seen some really tragic things this last year with some black service members who have been denied, black and brown service members and women who have been denied promotions by this administration. Correct. They're taken off of the promotion list.
They don't want them in the military. They don't want us in the military anymore. And, you know, I don't understand that logic.
No.
First of all, who wants to be in the military right now? You know, so you should be grateful for anyone that is willing to step up, because this is
a huge resource you're losing. Dangerous times. These are very dangerous.
It's interesting. In our first segment, we were talking with the interim president of the Black Nurses Association, and she was talking about how nursing was always a profession that attracted minority populations and the military as well. And it was
to the country's benefit.
Right. Well, yes, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, we've.
But was one of the few places where, well, I don't want to say that. There certainly wasn't equality, but.
It was better than the alternatives.
It was. So, let's talk a little bit about the banquet that you have coming up and what the message that you're expecting from your keynote speaker on that.
The banquet will be fabulous, I believe. I've been working pretty hard.
I was going to say, I'm sure you have.
Oh, yes, I'm working hard. But this is not my first pony ride, so you know, it gets a little easier over time. But the speaker, Gene Grant, he is a playwright. He's also 20 years as a PBS. He had a PBS show in Santa Fe called New Mexico in Focus.
Right, that's
right. Which basically focused on African Americans in New Mexico. And now he's the executive director of New Mexico Office of African American Affairs. We are the only state in the nation that has a state-funded office of African American Affairs. We're the first state, and only state, I believe. Yeah, so I'm proud of that.
I am too.
I'm proud of New Mexico for that.
Yes. Yeah.
But so anyway, he's got all kinds of background and skills, and you know, he's an orator and all of those things. He's coming to Las Cruces to give us some thoughts on how he feels about the people, and I'm anxious to hear him. Yes.
Nancy brought it up, but let me go back to it. The Supreme Court ruling recently that essentially
gutted
the Voting Rights Act.
And the DEI ban. Don't forget about that. There's a lot. They've been almost systematically taking away the things that we have fought to gain.
For so many generations.
And I don't think they will be able, just as they didn't succeed in the past, taking it away. We had to fight for it. We fight for it again. Mm-hmm. It's cyclical. So you got good, you know, there's a time for everything, according to the Bible. So this is a season that is, you know, not necessarily a good season, but it's going to, you know, what goes up must come down.
Yeah.
And so it's going to get better. I have to believe that it's going to get better.
Yes, that's what we were talking about earlier to do. We have to believe it's going to get better.
We have to. And I speak about the music and the gospel music specifically, because that music, I believe, the slaves used that music not only to get through the day, but also to send messages to the other slaves.
Yes.
Covertly, they'd sing, you know, "Meet me at the river, down by the riverside," and of course, the slave owners had no idea that they were saying, "Okay, we're going to meet here." It's a, you know, when the moon is up, and those kinds of things. So there were messages. They used that as their first social media platform, if you will, get the messages, because they couldn't really, you know, they had to be
covert,
very much so. And but that's an ingenious way,
very,
to get the point across without really raising any red flags, you know. And so that's what they did. Now the music that we're going to do in the Gospel Explosion is just very powerful. We also have a selection at the banquet where we're going to invite the Unitarian Universalist Church Choir to join us.
Oh, nice!
And it should be extremely powerful.
Right.
We're singing "I Know Where I've Been," which is from the musical Hairspray, and Queen Latifah sang it. And we've got a soloist, Mona Morgan, will sing it at the Juneteenth banquet, and the choir will be there, and it's going to be spectacular.
It sounds spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and isn't there also going to be a big jazz show this year?
There's all of these.
A couple of
the
jazz
things
jazz
that you mentioned. Yeah, yeah. Yes, there's all of those things. And, you know, that's what the thing I like about Juneteenth is jazz is part of the history. Gospel music is part of the history. R&B is part of the history. Blues, all of those things are part of the history of Juneteenth. And so this is a perfect opportunity to send a message to we the people and entertain, you know, get rid of some of the heaviness and replace it with something that's positive, beautiful, and everybody agrees that music
and
is
unifying.
It's the universal language.
Yes.
And so
if our listeners would like to participate and attend, how can they find the schedule?
They can go. Well, the schedule is posted on, where is it, on the Bulletin website. I saw it.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you go to the NAACP DAC website, you can find information there. And
there's ways. And do they get tickets in advance or just
show
up?
They can get tickets are moving real quickly. So if they haven't got them already, they better hurry up, because we're down to just a few seats available, which is a good thing.
It is.
Yes.
And it's grown over time. Back in when I was a kid, Juneteenth, we'd go to Apodaca Park and we'd hang out. Barbecue was some of the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. And potato salad, pound cake, sodas, and all of those things, baseball.
Yes.
We did that for years. I'd go to the park as a kid, Juneteenth, Juneteenth, but I didn't know what it was about.
Right.
I really never knew what it was about growing up as a child, until I took an African-American history class, of course, that's when I discovered what was really going on with Juneteenth. And, you know, that's the other issue, is that there's not a whole lot of textbook information that you're going to find.
No, I don't remember. I'm trying to think about the first time I became familiar with the concept of Juneteenth. I think it was well into adulthood.
Well, that's most people.
Probably in the 80s is when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
And then there are people today that still don't know what it's about.
Yeah.
And so part of the goal is to educate, let them know, here's what happened. And, you know, 2.5 years it took for them from Lincoln's signing of the Emancipation Proclamation until General Gordon Granger, bless his heart, showed up with his Union soldiers in Galveston and told them, "You are no longer slaves. You've been free since January of 1863.
Not only told them, but told the slave owners, "We are here to free your slaves."
Well, there's that too.
Yeah, yeah.
There is that. And so,
they weren't giving them up.
We had to go through a civil war.
Yes.
To get that.
And even then, 2 years later, they weren't giving them up without the army coming in and forcing them.
An act of Congress didn't work at all, now.
That's right.
So we've got some work to do. But I'm excited about what has already, where we have come from, you know? And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. And I want to emphasize that. I mean, these times are so dark, and it's so easy to focus on the Supreme Court rulings and what's happening with the military.
And the federal government.
And you know, removing policies. Our history. And, you know.
And the immigration issues, where they're separating children from their parents and all of those. You know, cruelty
is
gratuitous cruelty.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to come together and celebrate and say we recognize
all of this. Well, that's an act of
power.
That's an act of resistance, is to be celebratory together.
I've been proud of our communities. I was proud of the people in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Very proud of them because they stood up.
They did.
And it worked.
And the whole nation saw it.
The whole nation saw it, and I saw it. And I was so proud. I'm like, oh, my God, look at these people out in the freezing cold.
That was
cold.
An inspiration.
It was mm-hmm. It was powerful.
Yeah.
And so there are glimmers of hope sprinkled out through the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and including the protest here for, you know, no immigration, no detention, and no ICE border patrols and all of that here.
Right.
So not only do black people have to celebrate, but people of color, all people, Native Americans, Hispanic, everybody can celebrate this because we can all relate. You know, I put it this way. We might have come over here on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now.
That's right.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's inspirational. This time of the year, very busy, but very inspirational.
Right.
Yeah. It's cathartic, almost gives me the,
yes, cathartic.
You know, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic. Yeah.
What have you talked with Mr. Grant, or do you have an idea of what he's going to touch on in his speech?
He hasn't shared his speech with me.
Yeah.
I talked to him. We're friends.
Well, I'm
sure,
yeah.
He's
sure
a great person, and we talk a lot. We have some, we're going to collaborate on some things and write, and he's a former, he writes articles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at some point we will collaborate on an article and talk about a whole lot of things that are, you know, issues in New Mexico.
Right.
That's what I want to talk about is what's going on in New Mexico. So I'm not sure what spin he's going to put on it. He does know the theme, and he's, you know, I'm sure he's doing copious work to prepare. I don't have, I can't share the
And he didn't give you a title of his
talk. We told him the theme was We the People.
Yeah.
So that's what he's going to talk
about. That's okay.
That's a terrific
umbrella.
It's a wonderful umbrella. It covers a whole multitude of things. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm anxious to hear what he's going to say. He's a wonderful person, actually, and very, you know, very talented in a number of different ways. And he's been around. He's kind of low key, you know.
Yeah.
But he gets a lot of things accomplished through his career, and he's brilliant. So I'm excited. Very excited.
And I know that at NMSU they had a couple events that were devoted more towards the business end and the helping their students get ahead. Can you talk a little bit about how
there's the power of the black money?
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Gene Grant is going to be one of the. He's going to come in and provide a little insight to the students about
also
that.
Along with his speech.
He's
going.
We're putting
that's
him to
nice.
Work.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to do that event as well. So he's. I said, can you come up early? Oh yes, he's coming. So he's excited. The students need to see and hear people. Especially students of color, they need to see and hear people that look like them to tell them, hey, you know, you got the money, you got bargaining power.
Yes.
When you're making your purchases, I mean, the boycotts were very effective in the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955.
Oh, sure.
One of the most famous boycotts in history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they figured out that, hey, if we don't ride this bus, they're going to lose money. And they did lose money.
And that got their attention.
And it works. And it works. I think we should do more of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those companies who are benefiting from these detention centers, the privatized detention centers and what have you, we don't necessarily need to patronize them. There's other alternatives. And so students need to understand, here is how much money the black dollar is, you know, putting out into the economy.
Right.
And where is the ROI?
Yeah, there's power in that if you exercise it.
A lot of power in that. If we did more of that, we'd have less of what's going on now because people would understand that, well, if I support DEI ban, it's going to cost me dollars. Jimmy Kimmel is a perfect example of that. He was pulled off the air.
Yep.
And people dropped their subscriptions like hot potatoes.
Yes, they did.
I did too.
Yep.
And lo and behold, it got their, like you say, it got their attention.
3 days later.
Now he's back on the air and more determined than ever.
Than ever, yes.
Yes. So be careful what you ask for. You might get it, you know?
Yeah.
And so the students need to understand that they have power, more power than they think, plus the voting power. You really got to use your vote.
Yes.
Especially now. We only had 20% turnout here in Dona Ana County in the primary election. I was very disturbed by that because I talked it up and we had candidate forums and we did all these things to educate, and the turnout was still very low.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and I talk about it a lot, the fact that we have so many safe districts and uncompetitive races, and I get it why people lose interest in the system, because right now it doesn't seem to be working real well. But
I think that's one of the messages of Juneteenth is the message of empowerment.
That's it.
And that we have more power than we think. We have more agency than we think.
We do.
And that means we have a responsibility then to act. We have not only the right to vote, we have the duty to vote.
It's an obligation
passed
down to us from generations.
Yes.
I used to watch my parents. They worked, you know, manual labor, almost domestic labor. My mother was a cook. My father was a farmer. Mm-hmm. They worked hard.
Yeah.
But I remember after work, on voting day, they'd go and vote. And they did it regularly, and I saw that. And I was like, oh, you know, as a kid, I watched that. So if parents would be more proactive, then maybe their children would understand.
I always love to see on voting day when parents bring their kids.
I think it's a good thing.
Me too.
It's a very good thing. So they understand. Here, look, this is the problem. You get a sticker.
Right.
You get the sticker. And your voice, you know, it makes you feel like your voice has some kind of power. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it does. So the gerrymandering and all of the redistricting and all of the things that they're doing now is to set the stage for the status quo to maintain in November and beyond.
Yes.
It is, but my response to the gerrymandering and all of that is the same. And the fact is, you can shift the lines around all you want, and I understand with AI and computers, you can do that pretty precisely.
Yes, you can.
But everybody still gets a vote.
Well, that's my hope, is that in spite of the gerrymandering,
that's right,
and in spite of the redistricting, people will look at their own best interest and vote in their own interest,
right,
as opposed to going with the status quo.
Yeah. Just because you happen to live in a Republican or Democratic district doesn't mean that your vote doesn't count.
And it doesn't mean that you have to vote along those party lines either.
Of course, exactly. That's right.
So I'm hopeful that even despite the effort and the gerrymandering, that people will just feel like, you know, I'm tired of what's going on. And I'm going to change it. I'm not going to look at it as a Republican Democrat thing. I'm going to look at it as a people, we the people, thing.
Yeah.
We are talking with Dr. Bobby Green about Juneteenth, but beyond that, in our last few minutes, anything else going on with the NAACP? Any initiatives or that you want to let people know about?
Any other points you'd like to make that we haven't asked you about?
The NAACP is very active. Our national conference is in July, so it's coming up, and I'm going to that in Chicago.
Excellent.
They are suing, I believe they sued the state of Texas just recently, for about the gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
So they are taking legal steps with that. They are also, I think, litigation to fight against the DEI ban.
Yes.
And so all of the things that you hear that are going on that are bad, they're taking steps. The housing crisis.
Yes.
And the interest rates They're trying to make sure there's a cap on interest rates, so you don't go above, I think, 9%. Mm-hmm. Instead of 29% or 30%. So yes, there's lots of. We have one of the best things I like about the convention is we do resolutions. We have a whole thick book of resolutions that have been submitted from branches all over the nation. Mm-hmm. Albuquerque has submitted one this year about the. People buying up real estate
in driving
our
up
state and
prices.
Driving up the price, yes. Yeah. So we have some, and then the one I'm most proud of is the lapel cameras for police officers. That was an NAACP resolution that was sent to the Black Congressional Caucus, and they put it forward for a vote, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's really important.
It's very
that's been
important.
Critical.
Well, even with cameras,
I was
it's still
say.
Yeah, you're still even with cameras.
Even with the cameras, it's
and,
still difficult.
And with cell phones and with everything else, it won't stop people from lying and telling you you don't see.
Don't
what,
believe
don't
what
believe
you saw.
See.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know. So it's time for us to make some changes, and they're going to come. Sam Cooke said it best.
That change is
it's been
come.
A long time coming, but change is going to come.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that's the hope out of Juneteenth. And every day we really need to be state focused on what is possible and what is necessary, in fact.
Absolutely.
So you said tickets are going fast. If people
tickets are going real fast.
Where do they need to go?
Go to that website, NAACP, Donana County, DAC.org. Google it, you know, and it pops right up.
Okay.
If they Google Donana County NAACP, it pops up. They can go to the website, click on the link, boom, boom, boom. Easy peasy.
And people can pay for their tickets online and everything.
They have to pay for them online.
Not only can you, but yes.
Yes, we want you to pay online because we've gotten away from having tickets and, you know, all
yes,
the physical.
Yeah.
Because it's too, you know, COVID changed everything.
That is true. And made so, it actually.
Yeah.